Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
And then we're going to be in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the second letter to the church of Corinth that Paul wrote, chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at those verses in just a moment. While you're doing that, a lot of things that are coming up, because we're into the holiday season. I love the holiday season because I'm reminded of God's, man, gift, love, mercies. I'm reminded of His plan once again. It comes to the forefront of my mind. And see what great lengths He went through to reach down into our world, which ended up reaching down into my world and my life and my family and yours also. So hopefully you will rejoice for the right reasons. And that what we get caught up in, if we get caught up in anything, let's get caught up in a new love and respect for our God and His plan during the season. But a couple of things you can take part in and be part of. Hopefully you're looking at the schedule that we've sent out and we have available back there for you to pick up. A couple of things that might be of interest not only to you, but some neighbors and family members. But next weekend, we're wrapping up our Momentum series. And what we mean by wrapping it up, we're gonna take that time to celebrate. We're gonna look at the past, the present, and the future next week. We wanna celebrate the past. We wanna give God glory for it. We wanna share some things we've learned over the past and some of the things that we would do again, some of the things we would never do again. You learn all kinds of things as you go along on your journey and some of the things we're involved in now. And where do we wanna take it from here? Well, what is 2012 and beyond? Where does God want this ministry? Where does God want you personally as we move on, as we join together? Baptism is part of our celebration next week. If you've never been water baptized, if you thought you were baptized, but you can't even remember it happening and you were a little child and it didn't mean much to you, you might, even as an adult, consider coming next week. Any one of the services, all you do is look up the information, come a little bit earlier. We're going to have the tank right out here. And if you've been here before, you know that we make a celebration out of it. So you invite your moms and dads and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, all your family members, friends, people from work, have them come along. Maybe that's the way to get them inside the doors of the church. What happens is they begin to sense that there's something different about the Spirit of God. There's something different. It's not religion, it's the Spirit of God. There's life when the Spirit of God is here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So they can participate with you on that. So that's happening. And then Jesse's Tree. We decided this Christmas time do something different because our young people, our children, have just exploded at this with the good leadership of music and other talents. So they're putting together a program. These tickets are free, but you can pick them up and use them to get them out to people that you know that might want to come. So the weekend after that, all our services, kind of like a Christmas time service, 17th and 18th, and then we move up to Christmas. We're going to have some Christmas Eve communion, candlelight communion service, which is a beautiful time, plenty of opportunity, and we're going to have a service on Christmas Day. So 6 years ago, we did this whenever it fell on, and it was a great time we had together because a lot of people like to come Christmas Day. All those things are happening, okay, over the next couple of weeks, and we're going to make it a good holiday season. We want to come out of it even with a greater understanding of the God that loves us so much. All right, momentum. I think we're getting an idea what it means. I keep using the illustration of football, but that's where you see it visually a lot of times. But there's a whole lot of football games been on over the last couple of days. So just catching glimpses of them yesterday, and again, once again, not only the commentators saying it, but it's so obvious when you begin to see the momentum change in the team. I mean, it's like, whoo, uh-oh, watch out. The momentum begins to change, and what happens? They begin to move forward and win. That's what momentum is. If momentum is on your side, you're going to keep moving forward. Now, it's more than motion. It's more than moving forward. It's the direction that you're moving forward in that is important. And we know that takes external forces, some influences from the outside. So the question is this: what is your life being influenced by? Are they negative things? Are they positive things? Are they godly things? Or are they cultural things or worldly things? This message is going to focus in on the distinctions between the cultural influences and the godly influences. That's what we're going to talk about today. But those are important because that's going to either keep us on the right path or get us off the path. And it's a struggle. It becomes a struggle when you're off that path that we're going to go on. Okay, so that's momentum we're going to talk about today. Samson is our Bible character today. We're going to get to him in just a moment. When we got into the series of messages, we picked out 5 Bible characters. And we said, what was it about their lives that taught us something about momentum? We looked at Abraham. We looked at Joseph. We looked at Paul. We looked at Joshua. And then we're going to look at Samson. And we realized that each one of them has something to tell us. Their life was a teaching. Their life was a lesson for us. And as we observed their life and we studied their life, we found that they had some aspect of momentum that could help us. The one we're going to look at today is more of a negative approach. What were the negative things happening in Samson's life that, if not avoided in our life, will throw us off? Okay, that's what we're going to look at. But how about when we looked at Joseph? Joseph, I keep going back to that one because Joseph, in spite of difficulties and challenges, he kept his momentum. I think we can identify with Joseph pretty much because there are pits that we're thrown in. You know, that first pit he was thrown in, he could have lost it right then. Could have been, woe is me. What in the world's happening? My family's forsaken me. I'm in a pit. But yet he kept alive the dream in his heart. He kept alive the faith in his heart. And he believed that all the time that he was there, God was with him. The result of this not only affected him personally, but affected his family, which in turn affected a nation, which in turn affected you today that sit in these seats in the year 2011. Because if he did not overcome, then there would have been a breakdown on this great plan, this chain, if you will, that makes up the plan of God that eventually brought the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world, who became our Savior and our Deliverer, which in turn started the church, which we became part of. God is marvelous in his planning, and his planning involves you and it involves me and it involves this ministry. So we want to continue to look at that momentum as we go. We ended up with Joshua last week, though. We studied the first chapter, and we looked at chapter 5 a little bit. We looked at chapter 6, but we listed what we believed were keys that were given to Joshua that would help him accomplish what he needed to accomplish as the one who followed Moses. Moses was a great leader, brought him out of Egypt, brought him to the Jordan River, 40 years took him to do that. Joshua now is given the responsibility to take him into the land, to lead them into battle against the forces that were there, but at the same time, trusting God was going to be with them all the way and keep the people trusting God. Big chore, big job. He was able to do it. They came into that land that had been promised to them. They begin to occupy that land. They begin to distribute to the various tribes the land that belonged to the different tribes. They begin to settle in where they would raise their children, where they would raise their children's children, where they were supposed to, and the goal was is to keep their eyes on the Lord, that they would be the nation that would be a light to all other nations. Now, that really came about in Solomon's day. They went through some tough times, but in Solomon's day, they were a light to all the nations of the world of what God could do for a nation, for a people. All right, now I want to pick up Joshua 23 and 24. In Joshua chapter 23, and I will paraphrase some of what I'm going to say here, but basically what was happening in Joshua 23, it's at the end of his life. If you look there, you begin to get this picture. He says in verse 1 of 23, he's advanced in age. And he calls the people to himself. Now, I want you to get this picture. Joshua is almost like a spiritual father to these people. He's not just their commander. He's not just their general. He is a spiritual father. He has built relationships with them. He has sweated with them. I mean, he's gone through a lot with them. And as a shepherd would over his flock. And he takes chapter 23 to rehearse in chapter 24 all the things that God had promised. But in rehearsing all the things that he has promised, he reiterates these promises by saying, listen, God wants to take you in. God wants to fight your battles for you, but you have to be cautious and careful. Look at verse 8. I'm going to read five verses there that kind of capture what the heart of chapter 23 is. In verse 8, Joshua says to them, "But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps to you, scourges on your sides, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you." So, in a fatherly way, he reminds them, this is what God wants to do for you. But he also throws a warning out there. Now, if you turn from, and let's get a picture here. This is important to what I believe God wants to get through to us today. The picture is this, is that they've moved into a land that was promised them, but also into a culture that was an anti-God culture. They were pagan worshipers. They were idol worshipers. They didn't focus in on serving God or wanting to glorify God whatsoever. Matter of fact, the reason that God was driving them out is because they refused to serve the one who had been their creator. And God was replacing with the people who he wanted them to serve him so that they could be an example. So they were to move in to change the culture. But the warning was, be careful the culture doesn't change you. Do you get that? That's so true today. We grow up in a culture, basically, where it's influenced by some pretty evil forces. Not only evil forces that, and you might think, oh yeah, I remember that person, they're pretty evil in my life. No, forces of darkness that are working against mankind to keep us apart from one another and keep us apart from God. We're also fighting another battle, and that's the battle of our old self. There's an old self that we're made up of that's filled with jealousies and envyings and lust and hatred and murders and anger and all these things. Yes, it's called the works of the flesh. So as we move into the land, the objective was, is that God wanted them to drive out all these inhabitants, all these influences from the land. If they begin to make compromise, if they begin to make agreements, if they begin to kind of fraternize with the culture moving into, they were putting themselves in a vulnerable situation where drifting away from God, and therefore God wasn't going to be with them to drive out the land anymore. Now, God's intention was to keep them blessed. Now, in Joshua chapter 24, he goes a step further. And he says to them, he said, listen, and he rehearses for them all that God has done for them. He said, he's brought you into a land that wasn't your land, but is going to be your land. You've moved into houses that you didn't even have to build. You've moved into fields where all you had to do is harvest the crop because someone already planted for you. In other words, God's gone before you. He's the one who has fought for you. And now he's moving you into this good land to enjoy this land. But do this, he said. It's not an unreasonable request. Love me. Love the Lord your God. That's the first thing. That is the request. Just love the Lord your God. Not only love the Lord your God, but enjoy the blessings that he's given to you. Rejoice in those blessings and remember that it's he who has given you these blessings, and make sure that you are aware of that and be thankful to him. In other words, just keep God in front of you of all times. Now, it really isn't any different than the walk that we have today, because some might ask the question, what does that have to do with me? I am 3,000 years removed from this situation. How in the world could that have anything to do with me? But it has everything to do with us. Because you see, the plan that God had for mankind has not changed from the very beginning. Let me give you an example. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter. And he's writing a letter to the church at Corinth. Now, Paul is our apostle. He's an apostle that wrote most of the New Testament. He's an apostle that we look to many times through the Word of God as the one who received great revelation from God and passed it on to us at great expense to his own life, being persecuted and even martyred at the end as a result of it. He dedicated himself to the Lord. In a sense, Paul has become a father to our faith. He certainly became a father to those that he was leading, and you'll pick that up in this story. But notice what he says, beginning with verse 11 of chapter 6, 2 Corinthians. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. You catch that fatherly message there? I speak to you as children. Just be open to what I'm about to say here. He said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Verse 1 of chapter 7. Therefore, having these promises, Paul said, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Again, almost identical to the same message that is given to Joshua, that he gives to the children of Israel, is the message Paul has given to us today as a father speaking to us. I like that last verse because he said, therefore, having these promises, in other words, the promise is always before us. And the promise is listen, my promise to you, my purpose is to be involved in your life, is not an evil purpose. I want to bless you. I want to bring you into your inheritance. I want you to occupy homes. I want you to raise your children in godly ways. I want you to sense my presence and my spirit. But be careful. Be careful that the culture that you are growing up in and you've been called out of doesn't influence you, doesn't keep you from these promises, doesn't put you in a situation where you begin to compromise. Here's the big question for today. Have we allowed our lives to be compromised by the culture that we find ourselves in? Have we allowed our lives to continue to make agreements with the flesh, which we are to be delivered from because of what Christ has done for us? Is the flesh still hanging in there and influencing our decisions and our attitudes? And we really haven't come to a place of really truly putting God first and loving him and walking in holiness. Why does this happen? Well, you see, they were told to drive out all the inhabitants. And they weren't only told to do it, but the interesting thing about it is that the command wasn't, you will drive them out. Here was the command, I will drive them out from before you. Did you get that? It wasn't just you, it's not just up to you, because you don't have the strength to do it. You don't have the ability to do it. It's only when you are linked to me and to my spirit. It's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So it's the spirit of God that rests on an individual that is allows you to accomplish overcoming the enemy. But when you break relationship and you find yourself in precarious situations or compromising situations, how can the Spirit of God move when you're being double-minded? Does this make sense? So we're hindered from going into all that God has for us simply because we've compromised with our flesh, compromised with the things of the world. We haven't really sold out and said, God, I choose you, and I'm going to choose you alone. In Joshua 24, at the very end, matter of fact, Joshua said to them, he said, okay, he said, listen, what am I hearing from you? He said, choose today. Are you going to go the evil route, or are you going to go God's route? They said, we're going to go God's route. He said, okay, you be witnesses against yourself. Chapter 24 brings that. You are your own witnesses. This is what you want. Yes, we want that. Okay, let's go for it. They move into Judges. Joshua passes away. They move into Judges. The first chapter of Judges, the second chapter, the third chapter, you will find over and over again more than 14 times this phrase. They did not or could not drive out the inhabitants. They did not or could not drive out all the inhabitants. Every tribe where they went, they came to a place where they settled. They might have driven out 90%, 80%, but they settled. How does one come to make that kind of decision? I think there's several reasons. I think you get weary of the battle. I think you get just tired of fighting the good fight of faith. I think you just said, well, it's just maybe easier for me just to compromise a little bit or make some kind of an agreement. And they did this, but the result of it was this, is that when they did that, it became something that was clinging on to them like thorns in their eyes or pricks in their sides. It was always plaguing them along the way. If you do not drive out all the inhabitants, all the old past out of your life, if you do not separate yourself, come out from among them, separate yourself, and with all due diligence and all diligence backed by the Holy Spirit, say, God, I'm going to love you with all my heart, my soul, and my spirit, and my strength. You are number one. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to walk in respect of you. I'm not going to allow any of these other things to plague me. If you don't make that decision, you have compromised. I would rather fight the good fight of faith toward that relationship than fight the battles with an enemy that's clinging to me as I'm trying to make my way on this spiritual journey. Does this make any sense? But this is the picture that they had. This was the picture that was happening. And this is what Paul said, come out from among them. And it's not an unreasonable request. God is not unreasonable what he's called us to. And let me tell you why it's not unreasonable. Jesus already went on ahead of us to make the crooked way straight. He's already provided a victory over the powers of darkness. He's already gone to the cross for our sin, which removed the guilt and the shame, set us free that we don't have to be in slavery. He's already rose from the dead, and he made a path to heaven, and he poured his own blood on the mercy seat of God. Therefore, that my walk now, every prayer that I pray, every move toward God I pray, is because I can move, because I'm accepted before the Father, because Jesus already went before me. And Jesus is called our advocate or our lawyer. He's at the right hand of the Father. So as a blood-bought, freed from my sin, child of God, I can come to him anytime. And the Father's there, the Son is there, and the Son said, he's one of ours. And because he's one of ours, let's take him on. Now, you got to get this. There's so much that God has for us. There's so many blessings that God has for us. Why are we still fooling around with sin? Why are we still allowing these works of the flesh in our life to rise up like anger, which not only hurts you, but it hurts those that are around you? Why are we allowing these addictions to other things? And we should be addicted to Jesus. We should be addicted to righteousness. We should be addicted to so much respect for a holy God that that's what I want to be addicted to. I don't want to be addicted to these other things that keep me away or keep me in a compromised position. I hope you follow what I'm saying here. And I do want to get to Samson. So go back to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. We certainly are not going to cover all of the life of Samson. I'm going to say a few things about him in a moment. But in Judges chapter 16, I'm just going to read a few verses that kind of give us a pretty clear picture of what happened to him. Samson. Who was this guy? I asked Cheryl, I said, what comes to your mind when you think of Samson? Well, first thing comes to your mind is power and strength. You can't mention Samson. We hear it in our books, and you picture this guy, you know, as muscular, which I don't think he had to be muscular. I don't think he had to be well built. I think when the Spirit of God comes on you, you could be as frail as anything, and you're still going to be able to accomplish it. It's the Spirit of God that does it. It's not your muscles that do it, like mine and things like that. Why are you laughing? You've seen me with my coat off or something? But look at Samson. Samson was unpredictable. He was undependable. He was a double-minded person. He really was. James says that a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. And he was unstable. He was bold before men and weak before women. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He did feats that no one else did. But yet he yielded to the appetite of the flesh all the time. He was called to declare war on the Philistines, yet he found himself in compromising positions, fraternizing with the Philistines, even to wanting to marry one. There's too many Phila things in the Bible. He had an unbelievable promise from the beginning. Before he was born, the angel of the Lord showed up. Said, you're going to have a child that's going to be great and going to judge and is going to be a Nazarite and set aside for the Lord. He had unbelievable power, but he had an unreliable character. Spurgeon, when he wrote about Samson in one of his messages, he said, he's marked by a series of miracles and follies. Miracles and follies. Miracles and follies. Samson was a man of faith, but not a faithful man. You know, you can be a person of faith, but not faithful. And that's the way he was. He's listed in Hebrews chapter 11. I cannot honestly say before you, I understand it all. We'll probably have to wait in one of those things that will be revealed to us. But here he was, doing the things that God has called him to, and yet failing in so many areas. Well, we come to the end of his life. So we won't delve into the weaknesses that he had, but he certainly had them, and he gave in to the weaknesses of the flesh. But the result of it was, look at chapter 16 of Judges, verse 17. We'll pick up the story. He told her, Delilah is who he's talking to here, all his heart. Said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I'm shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. A lot of people thought, was it attached to the very fact that it was his hair? Yeah, it was his hair, but it was the covering that he had, and it was a covering of the Almighty. And what he was losing was that covering of the Almighty over his life. He was moving out from underneath the anointing, if you will. So after he tells them this thing, that he'll become weak and be like other men, when Delilah, verse 18, saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up at once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand to pay her for that. Listen to this. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees. You know, the world has a way of lulling you to sleep, singing lullabies in your ears that you could take it easy, back up a little bit. Don't be so radical about Jesus. Don't be so radical about being involved in the kingdom of God. Why are you giving your finances to the church or to a ministry or to mission? Why are you doing, lull us to sleep from what we're called to do. She lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. I see that in there. And his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep, listen to this, and said, "I will go out as before at other times, shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Wow, what a sad thing. You know, that's the danger. The danger is we're going along and we're pretending to be where we should be with the Lord, and we have allowed these things to creep into our lives. We've allowed ourselves to get involved in fleshly appetites and sin and these compromising positions, and we think we're just going to be all right. And you might be all right for a period of time, but sooner or later it will catch up with you. He thought he had the same strength. There's a deception that comes from the enemy that because things are still going right for you, that maybe it's okay for me to keep fooling around with these things of the flesh or things of sin because things seem to be going all right. Beware. It'll get you. It'll get you. The result was then the Philistines took him, and the first thing they did, they put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison, turning a wheel, probably grinding wheat or something like that. Someone told me in between services, you know what happens when someone has been blinded and you head out? You'll just walk in a circle. You see, what he lost here was his vision. God had given him a great vision. A vision of a deliverer, a vision that God's power would be in him and he would be used to deliver them from the oppression of their enemy, the Philistines. But he lost his vision. He lost his way. He ended up in prison. And unfortunately, I can't tell you how many I've seen come, get all excited, get involved, allow these compromising things to happen, and bam, it gets them. And then it's a disaster at the end of the life. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for any of us. There's too much ahead of us. You got to keep the momentum going. You as an individual, God has so much more for you. He has so many things for you to move into. We as a church, as we come together in a ministry, there's so much more in the future. We're going to go over and rehearse what God has done in the past in our life. But do you realize God could do that much and more in the future? We're just going to have to adjust something. We're just going to have to position ourselves so that the anointing of God will be on our lives. And that we'll be able to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. I'm going to read 2 more verses and then I'm going to ask you to stand. But listen to these verses. They're written by Solomon. Come out of the book of Proverbs. I ask myself this question. Do you think Solomon knew who he was talking about or referring to when he wrote these verses? Proverbs 16:32. "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes the city." Samson was known for his anger. He also was known for one that was mighty. Proverbs 25:28 says, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." You know, a city in those days without walls was open to the enemy coming in and just doing exactly what he wanted to do. They could come in, take go back in and out, made their lives miserable if you didn't live in a city that had walls. If you don't have rule over your own spirit, that's the way it'll be in your life. The enemy will come in, he'll leave, he'll come in, he'll leave, and he'll try to destroy your life and eventually take your vision. Would you stand with me, please? I want to use these moments now. If you'll hang with me, please. Probably could be the most important time. Even we hear the word, it's one thing to hear the word, but now how does it apply to me? I want you to think about it. We're going to sing a song. I want to pray, and then we'll go into this song, and then I can come back and I'll dismiss you. Think for a moment right now. Is there anything in my life? Have I been compromising? Have I been given into the delights of the flesh? The passions of my flesh. Have I given into those? And is it a regular thing? Am I being hypocritical in my walk with the Lord? Do I say one thing, but yet I'm doing other things? Am I proclaiming his name by day and yet playing around at night? Is there things in my flesh that I haven't dealt with, I've allowed to cohabit with me? The Bible tells us that if we walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That means you need to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says that we should die to those things. Romans tells us, and that's what baptism is all about. When we go down in the water, we're to die to the old life. We're not to give in to sin any longer, but we're to commit ourselves to God's grace working in our lives. I think you all know what I'm talking about. You know where you're at. God doesn't come just to condemn us. He comes to set us free. If you want to be free today, just in the quietness of your own heart and mind, tell the Lord, Lord, I've got this thing going on in my life. I pray in Jesus' name by the power of your Spirit that you'll help me be delivered from it. Lord, this battle's too great for me, and I ask, Lord, that you take it away from me. I'm committing to love you and serve you. Father, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk in righteousness, Lord. I want to walk with you before me, Lord, as a holy God. I want to walk in the fear of the Lord, awesome respect of you. Lord, I don't want anything in my life, any compromise, any agreement, any cohabitation. Lord, I want it all driven out of my life, Lord. I want to move forward freely. So forgive me, Lord. The Bible says if you'll confess your sins before him in all honesty and repent, meaning, Lord, I want to turn 180 degrees and I want to go the other way. If you'll do that, he's faithful and just to forgive you. So for the closing moments of our time, we're going to have the altars open. I'm going to ask the people that are going to be praying, a part of our prayer team, they can make their way up now so you're available. We'll sing this song. I'll come back, but just feel free to let God speak to your heart right now.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.